My name is Angela Hennessy. I am a survivor of gun violence. I was shot on the front steps of my house just about a year ago. Someone tried to kill me. I think if someone shoots at you 1, 2, 3, 4 times, that means they're trying to kill you. If they look you in the eye and you look down the black hole barrel of the gun and then they still shoot you, I think that means they're trying to kill you. Through and through, that's what they call it when the bullet goes in one side of you and comes out the other. I was standing barefoot in my own blood. It was like I saw my own death. I saw my own funeral. I saw it in their eyes, the people who love me, my friends, my family, my mother, my son, who asked me if I was going to die. Not today. That's what I said, not today. My father, dead and black, he came to me in a dream a few days before as a warning. I realized that he wasn't happy to see me, and I wasn't supposed to be there. So I'm really happy to be standing in front of all of you tonight. As if my ancestors are listening. This is an entry wound, an exit wound, a cry, a sob, a scream, a rant, a prayer, a conjuring, a libation, a visitation, a manifesto. It is ex voto from a vow. The School of the Dead. 1, we are all students, and death is our teacher. 2, death knows everything about everything, but doesn't give any answers. It's okay to be curious, to fantasize about death, to think that death has or is the answer. Death asks questions like, are you living or are you dying? And when does dying begin? And what is the difference between dying and being killed? 3. Death teaches the life class, which has already begun, regardless of your arrival, your attention, your readiness, your sharpened number 2 pencils, your fully charged devices. There are no prerequisites. The assignments are complex in their simplicity, and the syllabus is always being revised. 1 minute, everything is all metaphor and symbol, and then suddenly, there is a body. 1 minute you are writing a poem, and the next you are filling out a death certificate. 4, death appears in many forms and has many faces. You may or may not recognize death. It is possible you have never met. Death denial is alive and well, and this may be all you have ever known. It may be that you are among the numerous cases of death amnesia, a symptom of death-phobic culture. Side effects may include the inability to recognize death or to remember the inevitability of your own death, the causal effect being the attempt to live a life uninformed by death. Immortality narratives and biomedical technologies of life extension and preservation may further obscure the teachings of death, resulting in death. If you have had an occasion to meet death, if death kindly stopped for you, your person, your people, did you see death? What did death look like? Do you remember? Was death peaceful? Did death suffer? Was death angry? Did death refuse to die? Would you make a portrait or take a mugshot of death? Would death sport a hoodie, a halo, a cape, a gun? Who is death to you? 5. There is always a body. It could be the body of someone you loved. It could be the body of someone you didn't even know. It could be your own body after somebody left you for dead. Perhaps they didn't actually die, you didn't actually die, but still you feel dead inside. 6. Did you kiss the dead body? 7. Too many of the dead are left unnamed, unclaimed, neutralized by statistics, diminished by anonymity and censorship in the theft and trafficking of bodies, the death march of forced migration, assimilation, intergenerational violence, and injury. Death is not a spectacle. Death does not YouTube, Facebook, Tumble, Instagram, Regram, LinkedIn, Blab, Blog, Vine, Kick, Snap, or Tweet. Death doesn't need an app. Death will not be televised. Death will be live. 8. The privatization of grieving undermines and underestimates the basic function of being witnessed in the unattended sorrows of being alive. We swallow, naively surrendering to misguided inventions that isolate and pathologize grief. Keep busy. Be strong. Don't feel bad. Time heals all wounds. Spellbound by the pop psychologizing of grief as an embarrassing affliction, a time-sensitive event, we grieve alone if we grieve at all. We spend more time talking about grief than actually grieving. 9. The times in which we live call for a geographical orientation to grieving that accounts for uncertain origins, unknown ancestry, severed kinship, homelessness, a dislocated sense of place, a bottomless pit of sorrow. 10. Grieve on the daily. Make time every day to grieve. Make grieving out of everyday gestures. Make folding the laundry grieving. Make sweeping the floor grieving. Make dancing grieving. Crying is beneficial but not required. Just say, I am grieving right now. While you are doing whatever you are doing, say what it is you are grieving and be specific. I'm grieving gun violence. I'm grieving another black person killed. I'm grieving black bodies left in the street. I'm still grieving slavery. I'm grieving slaves buried in unmarked graves. I'm grieving the Buffalo massacres. I'm grieving that I stand here on stolen land. I'm grieving hairdressers who keep trying to colonize my hair. I'm grieving my auntie who is dying, but no one will say she is dying. I'm grieving pussy grabbing. I'm grieving the rape of women, my mother, my friends, the little girl that I was before. I'm grieving transphobia. I'm grieving queer and trans people not feeling safe. I'm grieving love being criminalized. I'm grieving 49 dead. Grieve with instead of for. Grieve near water if possible, the ocean, your kitchen sink, as you do dishes, a puddle in the street. Invite your dead people to witness you. Make a grief ritual wherever you are. When others see you grieving, they might think you are a crazy person. You are not. They might think you have lost it, whatever it is. They might think you have come undone. You have. Finally.